Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is our paranormal afterlife, and I'm your host, Simon Bowne. And if you want to hear the extended version of this episode ad-free, please join the Patreon campaign. This week, I'm talking to Kathy Lather about her book, The Afterlife Mentor, a psychic medium's practical, emotional and spiritual guide to death. Kathy is a psychic, a healer and a mediumship teacher. Hi Kathy, thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
Thank you, Simon. I was so excited to receive your invitation.
So we're going to be talking about your book. It's called The Afterlife Mentor, a psychic medium's practical, emotional and spiritual guide to death. So how did this all start for you? Have you always had these things coming to you?
Well, yes. When you do read my book, when you go on my webpage, I'm quite open about my story. I always feel that I'm very lucky because I came from a family that was always very open about spirit, about entities, about aliens, fairies in the garden. Nothing was ever deemed as silly. My grandmother, my nana, she was English. She always referred to myself as Fae. When I was little, I didn't understand what that meant, but I now know that Fae means very intuitive. So Nana was a very, very clever lady. She basically she taught us how to use or keep our clairs open, because everyone comes into this world with our beautiful clairs intact, our claircognizance, clairvoyance, clairsentience. And she was just very loving and kind in a way that we could still access them. So when we had invisible friends, when we had these feelings and these notions, she encouraged us to talk about them. So whenever the phone rang, it was who's on the other end before you pick it up. So it was always a lot of fun. Memory was our favourite game. And so I've always had visions, I've had knowings, I've seen spirit, and it was just deemed as normal. So I kind of always still think that I am very normal. I think everybody can do what I do, and I'm just very blessed because people seem to like coming to me to receive messages and readings, and I've been doing it for quite some time, which I'm very much enjoying. So when I got pushed to write the book, The Afterlife Mentor, by my spiritual team, my beautiful angels. It was hard. They would wake me up at 5 o'clock in the morning every morning for about a month, and I procrastinated an awful lot, and I'm not an early morning person. But I did. I got it done, and as normal, when something is meant to happen, I had amazing connections, I had amazing friends, I had amazing people who helped me edit it, put it together, and do a beautiful cover or the artwork. So again, just very, very blessed.
So is there anything that happened during your childhood that really stands out to you? Is there some big thing that kind of put you on this path?
I can remember waking up when my great-grand passed. Great-grand lived to about 103. She was a beautiful woman. She was the cook. She was the chef. She was a naturopath. If there was something wrong, you would go and great-grand would know the theory on how to get rid of warts. You'd be taken down the backyard with a banana skin to dig a hole under the full moon. So you were, when she passed, I can remember waking up and seeing her at the end of my bed. And I can remember going into my mother because I wasn't young. I mean, I was in my 20s, but she was just so clear. And I can remember, because I still lived at home at that time, walking in and I'm told my mother, and then we got the phone call saying that she just passed. That really cemented it. And then when I was always the girl who could guess the sex of the pregnant woman. I was always the girl who had this uncanny ability to do well at sales, because people would say, oh, you just read people really, really well. What I didn't realize is I was reading people's energy really well without understanding what I was doing. Hence, I was making people very relaxed because
I could use my ability of being within their energy, sending them my loving energy back in a very calm, and I knew things about them, which I then used to make them feel very calm and comfortable. But when I got sick, when I was 40, 2 weeks prior to being diagnosed with breast cancer, I actually saw an archangel. I saw Archangel Michael in the flesh. And I'd always known of angels and ascended masters. I was always had these spiritual beings in my life and taught to talk to your angels, talk to your loved ones, talk to whoever you need to ask, to let them know what you want, what you need, so you can manifest and create better in your own life. But I can remember when this archangel appeared before me in front of a room full of people, because it was actually at a channeling evening, and I was talking to the channel because the channel was channeling Archangel Michael. And Michael said, "I can feel there's questions in the room. What are the questions?" And of course, no one said anything, as you tend to do. I was very cheeky. I didn't particularly like the channel who was doing that night. That's just my own personal preference. And I can remember saying, "Oh, how do you fit your wings in that body?" And I can remember the chuckle and the reply. And as he was talking to me and discussing how angels appear, I was watching the channel's face, and the channel's face just completely disappeared. It just went black. And then from within his physical body, this beautiful archangel just stepped forward. I felt a rush of heat up through my feet, going out to the top of my head. Felt like a volcano. It was so hot. And I just said in front of everyone, "My God, I can see you." Because he was just this beautiful archangel that just filled the whole room. And he, very good looking archangel, gorgeous hair, very strong jaw, piercing blue eyes. And I said, "Why am I seeing you now? I've never had to see you. I've always felt you. I've always talked to you. I've never had to see you. Why am I seeing you now?" And he said, just straight out, "You need to see the believe, Kathy, and you really have to start to believe." 2 weeks later, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. Then they found a 9.5 kilo cyst in my stomach that I named Cyril, because I figured something that dramatic in my physical body and that I have to remove, I should name it. Thankfully, he was benign. But during that time, I had to really believe that there was something different, and life was very important. I had a young family. So I was eating really, really well. If you look at the picture on the back of my book, you'll see I'm a very chubby person. I do like refined sugar. But in that period when I was doing chemo and radiation, I had to drink 6 liters of water a day. I had a beautiful girlfriend who used to come over and juice 2 heads of broccoli for me every day, because it boosts your immunity system. And it'd be like, you have to drink that by the time I get back. So I couldn't eat processed food. I couldn't eat meat. I was really only eating organic, really fresh fruits and vegetables. And I saw spirit everywhere. I was talking to spirit in hospitals, in waiting rooms, in my own home, constantly around me, because I fine-tune the physical body. Because the physical body, or my upset people, because I call it the meat suit, it encases our own soul, our own spirit. Our physical body is an amazing instrument. It really is. And if we treat it really well, which I should treat it better because it makes my job harder, it can help us attune to all what I refer to as the magic that is just more than what our physical eyes can see. The way I was taught is that we have a brain and a body, and that dies when we are ready to cross over. But our mind and our soul never dies. That is energy. And I was always taught by my family that my mind is an amazing instrument. It not only holds information about this life, it holds information for me about my past lives. My mind allows me to go to different realms, dimensions, different galaxies. I can allow, if I get into that beautiful, what my nana used to refer to as the dream state, which I now know is the theta frequency, if I can talk myself down and to stop hearing the busyness of the brain and just work with my mind, I can hear, see, and basically go anywhere. And that is how I believe I really fixed myself. I healed myself. Obviously, I did go down the path. I did chemo and radiation, which a lot of my so-called spiritual friends didn't like, and I lost quite a few. But I had a child of 8 years old. I was going to be here no matter what. So I very much, every day for an hour, I meditated. I called in Archangel Michael, Archangel Raphael. I called in any ascended master who was going to come and help me. And I would talk myself down into such a beautiful, serene state that I was taken home at least 3 times. And I was able to understand the different realms and dimensions. And in a way, it helped me understand how I can connect with people who've crossed over. So I find that that part of my life, that was the real kick of my spiritual journey when I turned 40. Some people, I hate the terminology of the breast cancer journey, but I think mine's a bit different. I did learn a lot about myself, but it really helped me understand more about my spiritual journey. And it made me quite happy with what I can do. It didn't make me feel abnormal anymore. I had a better understanding of it. And we can all do it. I'm nothing special. It's just you have to believe and trust, and you have to practice. You have to really practice being able to control the quietening of your brain and relaxing everything in your physical body, your meat suit, so that it can come to a place where you are completely at peace and relaxed and able to go in these different realms.
I wanted to ask you about the Archangel Michael. When you saw him, did he look like the kind of archangel you'd expect to see in a biblical sense, with the wings and the white robe? And
no, my Michael did not have wings. Angels only, I was told, because when I asked about the wings, they say that they come with wings because it calms humans. It calms us down, that we know that they're a spiritual being. Angels are with us so many different places. There are so many different angels that walk on this earth. You've probably met an angel without ever realizing it. It's not until when you're in a crisis, when you're in a place where you just need help, and you will find that suddenly a person appears, gives you calming words, settles you down, and then you turn around to thank them and they're gone. Angels very much only show themselves for a short time. I can remember quite clearly, we moved after I got sick, so I was still during treatment. And I'm not the best with new places and driving. I'm very much a hermit. I like staying at home. And I can remember I had to go to a new doctor's office because I was getting some information on some scans, always scary. And I can remember I had to park in this car park, and I'd never been there before, and I panicked. I got there. I was running late. I was looking around this car park. I'm like, how the hell do I get out of this car park? I need to get across the road. And I'm like 3 stories up in the air, and I'm freaking out. I'm looking around, and suddenly there was a man right beside me, and he just pointed and he said, the exit's that way. And I looked over and I saw the exit, and yes, great. So I turned to thank him and he was gone in an open car park. You would be able to see this person. If he was a real human, he would not have been able to duck away. No cars left, nothing. That is the idea of an angel. When you talk to people, when you actually admit that you have had encounters with angels, I mean, so many people will tell you the story. My daughter, just the other day, she walked in and she said, thanks for putting in protection around me, Mum. I had an angel taking care of me today. And I said, what happened? And she said, I was at the traffic lights, because she drives a lot for work. And she said, I was sitting there waiting to turn. The light went green. I'm like, thank God. And then she heard the word stop really loud and clear, and the brake came on, and she felt herself move, but the car didn't move because the brake
and she knew she hadn't braked. And just as she looked up, a huge semi-trailer came barreling through and ran the red light. If my daughter had turned, she would have been killed for sure. It's those type of heavenly encounters, warnings, just trust and belief that these beautiful angels, our guardian angels, our ascended masters, our loved ones, our spiritual guides, whatever you want to call them, they're there and they're there to help us. You just have to be open enough to ask for their help and be ready to listen.
Is there a thing with feathers? Because I've heard that if you see white feathers, it may be a sign that there's an angel around or one of your loved ones.
Yep, feathers are a good one, but I'm really mean. I do not accept feathers. Oh. I live on acreage. I live on 3.5 acres in the hinterland on the Gold Coast. I'm very, very lucky, and I have a lot of wild birds. So wherever I go, I tend to attract wildlife, which is really beautiful. So I would, the only time I have ever asked for a feather to be shown to me is when my father, he was 84 and he was having bypass surgery. He was in ICU. And I said, right, I want to know if he's going to be okay. I want to find a feather in a very unusual place where it never should be. And I walked into the ICU waiting room and there was a white feather, a pristine white feather sitting on the seat. That to me was a sign from my angels that he was going to be okay. I'm really mean to my angels and my guides. And I tell everyone this. You need to tell them what you want to see. You need to be fairly direct, because if you just say, I want a sign, that could be anything from feathers to coins to a free cup of coffee to anything. And if you don't give them a time frame in which to give you that sign, how do you know they're not going to give you the sign next week or next year? So I'm really mean to my guides and angels, and I'll say, right, I want to see a sign. And I like to, when I drive up to Brisbane to visit my parents, if I have a question, I'll say, right, okay, Archangel Michael, Fred's my guardian angel. I say, I want to have an answer to this question. If it's a yes, I want to see 333 on three separate cars. If it's a no, I want to see 666 on three separate cars. I can remember when my husband was going for a job, I said I wanted to see that company's truck three times so I knew he would get the job. Never seen one of the trucks ever again on the freeway, but every time I ask that question, I used to always see every single truck with his company logo. It was amazing. But I always see the numbers. If I don't see the numbers, I know that I'm on the wrong path. You really have to be kind to them. They're not mind readers. You need to talk to them just like we need to talk to our family. You need to talk to other humans about what is going on with us, because our emotions can also send us awry. So if you really want to connect in with your angels or loved ones, for starters, start talking to them, invite them into your life. You don't have to say it out loud. You don't have to take a billboard and tell everyone you're talking to angels and people who've crossed over. But you need to be able to have a way of talking to them, either in your mind, write down a note, do whatever makes you feel better. But then you need to actually ask them or confirmation that they've got that request. So the only way you can do that is by saying, I want to see this type of sign, and telling them directly what it is, and then saying, I want to see it in 24 hours. I want to see it by the end of this week. Because once you actually give a time frame, you're actually looking for that sign. Because how many times have you heard of people, oh, I never got that sign. I don't really believe that there are things out there because I never got a sign. Well, did you tell them how long it was going to take? Were you looking for the sign? You could have walked over a butterfly or a silver dollar like so many times, and you just never saw it because you weren't looking for it at that time. I'm a bit mean, aren't I?
Well, I had a thing with three feathers that I won't tell you the whole story because I've told it before. My listeners have heard it. But basically, I saw one, and then the next time I saw one, I thought, oh, that's weird. Because the second time I'd been talking to a medium about feathers, and then when we finished the call, there was this feather in the middle of my daughter's floor in her bedroom.
A normal place for a feather, is it?
Yeah, but then I saw a medium a few months later, and I was telling her about that. And she said, look at the floor. And then there's a feather on the floor in between us. And neither of us had got up and gone anywhere. There's no way that, you know, it wasn't there before. It's like it teleported in. So I'm wondering if the angels were trying to give me a sign and I just wasn't getting it. And they had to get more extreme.
I would say most definitely, yes. And if feathers mean to you, that's your connection with angels. Yes, most definitely, yes. They were calling your attention to it. Number three, very powerful number. So I would say yes. It's just I personally would never, except for that one time. I mean, how many times do you find a perfect feather in a hospital? But when I'm around home, I don't ask for feathers. I can remember one time I did have a bad reading. You know, we all have bad days. I never should have accepted this reading. I was given so many signs not to. The first time this woman wanted to book a reading, a tree fell down in our driveway and I had to ring her up and say, I can't let you come. You can't get through. I have a 250-meter driveway. I said, I have to get someone out to chop the tree to remove it. The next time she rang or booked in, we had really heavy rain and our dam flooded over and you have to cross a bridge to get to me. And I rang her up. I said, I'm sorry, you can't come. You would think I would learn by that time. This woman pushed me and said, this isn't fair, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I relented and I allowed her to come on the weekend, which I don't like to read on the weekends. That's my family time. So I relented and I let her come. Anyway, it was not a good reading, not a good reading at all. I'm going to be completely honest with you. This is probably every psychic medium's worst nightmare. When I went to tune in, I got absolutely nothing, completely blank. Terrified me. My whole demeanor went downhill. It was like, why aren't you giving me my signs? Why aren't you telling me I'm connected? What is going on? This woman was very abusive to me. She was very, let's just say, she was just not a nice person, to the point where I just said to her, I'm really sorry. Because when I was starting to get messages and I'm giving them to her, she's just going, no, you're stupid. You don't know what you're talking about. You're dumb, rah, 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 really negative energy. And in the end, I just gave her back her money and I said, look, I'm really sorry to have wasted your time. I'm obviously not your psychic medium. And she refused to go. She's like, no, I'm not going until you give me a reading. And I'm like, no, you need to leave. I feel like I had to forcibly eject her out of my reading room. Anyway, I came back in, I was really shaken. And I said to my angels, my spiritual team, I said, if I'm not meant to be doing this work, you need to give me a sign if I'm meant to be doing this work, because right now I feel like I shouldn't be doing it. She came for a reading on a Sunday and I had a whole week booked. So I said to them, I want to find a 20-cent piece with my year of birth on it. And I want to find it in the next 24 hours before my first reading. So I'm looking everywhere I could. I'm keeping my eyes peeled for this 20-cent piece anywhere. I was checking everything. I was really looking for this sign and I didn't find it. And I was really quite worried. It was really affecting me. Anyway, my first reading walked in on Monday and she walked in and she said, it was really odd. She said, I found this coin in the middle of your driveway. So I thought, pick it up. And she handed me a 20-cent piece with 1968 on it.
So there's your sign.
Yeah. That's my sign. I was meant to be doing this work. So it kind of blew me away that they could be that good. Even they were a bit slow because they made the client bring it in for me. But it just reset. I just felt really good. And so I just moved into that reading with ease. And I can remember the lady was quite happy. But yeah, you've got to work with them and they've got to work with you.
And you said earlier that you visited home, which I think is how you refer to the afterlife. How did that happen?
I had to get a message from my Nana. All the time that I went up there, I was being told. It's the most amazing experience, actually. It was really beautiful and it's really hard to describe how beautiful it was. So as I said, when I was ill every day, I would make sure that I spent minimum of an hour in what I call my dream state. In a really beautiful, deep, relaxed state so your body could heal. I would ask Archangel Michael and Raphael to work on my body and help me remove any of the toxins and the dis-ease from my body, the cancer. And they would take me away while I was worked on. And it's hard to describe
It was always a beautiful floating feeling. I've never got this again in any form of meditation or anything. I feel like the angels just knew that when they were working on me these three particular occasions that I had to be out of my physical body. It was like walking through a wormhole. It was like getting sucked through a beautiful uplifting sensation where you just felt like you were just rising. I didn't see a big bright white light, so I don't believe I dive on these trips, but I was taken up and I felt like I was risen up, and I was always greeted by my Nana, and she would always give me words of love, words of comfort. She'd always tell me it was going to be okay. She'd give me messages so I'd know that I was going to get out on the other side. But it was like I was surrounded in rainbow. It was, I don't know if you've ever gone parachuting or if you've ever lived on top of a mountain when you walk through the mist, and it's a very beautiful, soft mist, but you can feel the coolness on your physical body. It felt like I was in this most beautiful, gorgeous, multicolored, I suppose all colors of the rainbow, your chakra colors, but it just felt like I was in this mist. I could see my Nana in front of me talking to me. I could hold her, I could touch her, I could have all of this. Obviously, she doesn't have a physical body anymore, so she erased her energy so I would be comfortable. And yet I just felt so relaxed, so at peace, and so loved. It's really hard to describe. Really beautiful. So I recommend people get there, because when you come back, it comes back with a bit of a thump. But boy, you really want to do well in this life, because you know there's so much better where you're going. It's not an end. So you really want to live the best you can down here. I know, because I do quite a lot of readings for people who their loved ones have chosen to leave early, and they're always worried if, you know, they won't go. I personally don't believe in heaven and hell. I think if you're going to go to hell, it's here. It's how you choose to live your life. It's your choices. I mean, a lot of people don't like my thoughts and ideas, and I'm sorry, but with everything that I've been through and discovered, that's how I feel. I call what some people refer to heaven as home, because I believe that we start there and we finish there. And from what I've been shown, it's kind of like a turnaround, a roustabout. We go there to connect in with soul family members. We go in there to catch up with our loved ones who's already passed on. We can mingle with any type of entities, any type of ascended masters, angels, any type of beings that you want to connect with. And it's from there that you can decide if you want to travel to different galaxies, to different worlds, to different dimensions, or go and check out something even here on this planet. So to me, home or heaven, it just feels like a kind of stopping or gap station that you go to connect with people, but it just feels amazing. So you have to think that all the other places that you can go to is just as amazing.
It kind of sounds like the place people describe when they have a near-death experience.
Yeah, it does. I've talked to quite a few people who have crossed over and then returned. And everyone has some similarities, but everyone has a unique story as well. And I can remember my best man, because as soon as people find out what you want to do, they want to share your stories, because they can't normally share their stories with people because they're judged. But as soon as they find out that you're a psychic medium, you get told the best stories. And I can remember my best man, he was telling me how he died, and he said, but I didn't see the white tunnel like everyone else. I just saw beautiful colors and I felt like I was floating up.
And then it was like I was turned around and I had to come back in. And I looked down and I saw my body and I saw them working on me. And then I felt myself coming in with a bump. And I thought, yeah, that makes sense to me. I can understand where you're going. And then you have the people that talk about seeing the white light and then they're turned around and they come back. Everyone says it feels lovely. No one ever says it feels terrible. No one ever says that they're scared, because there is no fear. When I went on my little journey, I never had fear. I felt really safe all the time. You just feel so, I know it sounds silly, but you just feel so at peace and you just feel so loved. And it's like you can't do anything wrong. So, yeah.
Hello, this is me, Simon. Did you know that during a past life regression, you can meet with your spirit guide? I conduct past life regression sessions over Zoom, and I've guided many clients to a spiritual encounter with their guide. If you would like to ask me how a session would work for you, you can book a free 20-minute consultation on my website, pastliveshypnosis.co.uk. The link is in the show notes. So when you're doing a reading for somebody, how do you know that, I don't know, you're not just making it up? Is there a certain way it feels?
Well, that's a really good question. Because sometimes you think, wow, what am I seeing here? I normally do a spiel before I start a reading. I always ask them how they find me. And I'm very lucky. I've got some amazing Google reviews. And it always worries me when they say, oh my God, I read your Google reviews. I go, I read them too. I want to go through it as well. But I always say to them, all I am is an antenna, because that's all I am. That's all I am. When I count myself down, and I'm going to tell you my secret, Simon.
Yeah.
Before every reading, I shuffle a deck of Archangel Michael Oracle cards. Now, I don't read the cards. I use the cards as a tool for me, because when people come in for a reading, you're either going to get the people that are really excited, you're going to get the people who've done it before, you're going to get the people who are really nervous, or you're going to get the people who've been sent there because they've been given a gift certificate or they've been told they should go and they really don't want to be here. So I find that if I shuffle my deck of cards, it gives them something to look at. What I'm actually doing though, every morning I do a big meditation before I start work. And I allow myself to go into what I call my dream state, the theta frequency. I talk my brain down and I open up my mind. It's the best way I can explain it. And I've taught myself by using the technique of counting 3, 2, 1, 1, 1. So even as I did that, I felt my body relaxing. So I do that as I shuffle the deck. So they could be talking to me. I'm just trying to tune them out and I'm just trying to get my physical body in a state where my mind is open and I can receive. So yes, I use a lot of my clairs. I receive smells. I hear a lot. I do hear a lot. How I know I'm going to talk to people who've crossed over is their frequency, their energy. I hear a high pitch ring in my ear. Now, I never really understood when I was first doing readings, why I would get this little in my ear until I, because I'm probably what you'd call a nag, and I ask my angels an awful lot and I expect them, I expect a lot out of them, until it was explained to me that people who crossed over don't have a physical body. They're all energy. It's their mind and their beautiful soul. So they're energy. So just like a car radio, they have to tune into my frequency so I can then receive their messages. I am a very small psychic medium. I'm not a Tyler Henry. I'm not a John Edward. I'm lucky if I get 1 to 3 words. I get short visions. They use my memories an awful lot. So if I call in and if I get a spirit, if it's a nana, I see a picture of my nana. If it's a grandma, I see a picture of my grandma. If it's a nanny, I see my mother-in-law because she's known as nanny. So that's how they let me know who I'm talking to. They use my information that I'm comfortable with. They're very good with giving me memories. So a lot of times when they want me to describe a place to them,
They will show me images of what I know, and then I just give the basics of what I'm seeing. If there is something that is vital for them to see, I'm very lucky that I will be able to describe a certain statue or a certain bench with a plaque on it. When I ask for evidence on how they crossed over, I have an awful lot of symbols that I've used over the last 20 years to work out if they've had a heart attack, if they've died from cancer and whereabouts they've died from cancer, which cancer it is, whether it be breast, whether it be brain, different symbols for all of those diseases that we do cross over from. I have a suicide symbol. I have lots of different symbols so that when I'm asking how they died, they can give me what occurred, and then they tend to give me more information about how they felt. I know that some psychic mediums would say I'm a bad person because sometimes when you're dealing with spirit, you get a lot of emotion, a lot of emotion. And I say to them all the time, stop sending me emotion, just send me the words. Because when you're being filled with love, when you're being filled with pain, when you're being filled with all of these emotions, it does come through. So I used to feel really bad about that because I used to get a lot of the emotions through. And I can remember going to a workshop of quite a well-known person who now no longer believes in this. She's very religious. She said no medium should show emotion of any sort in a reading. So I always used to beat myself up about it. But so many of my readers just go, it's okay. I actually think you're quite human by showing the emotion. Because when they give you the emotion of what they want to pass on, it just seems to amplify the reading and it makes the sitter more comfortable with the messages that they're getting. But like you can get some really weird stuff. You just think, why the hell am I getting that? And I've just learned now you just have to share with what you're getting because it makes sense to the sitter. It will never make sense to me, but it's not my reading. All I am is the antenna. I am just the person who's lucky enough to have the job where they can sit in this really wonderful, really relaxed state for each hour that you do a reading and pass on messages. I really think I'm very lucky. I think I do a beautiful job. I wouldn't want to swap it for anything.
Is there a thing where people might show up and they want to talk to someone, a deceased loved one, and that person just doesn't show up? Yeah, I wonder how it works.
No, that's okay. I'm sure I'm telling you stuff that everyone else shares with you. From what I've learned, and this is through my many readings, is it's really easy to feel when a loved one first crosses, you tend to feel their energy for the first 4 to 6 weeks because they cross, they're always meted or greeted, should I say, on the other side by their other soul family members, their pets. Basically, anyone that they've shown kindness to, if they've crossed over and if they made an impact on someone's life in a kind way, they will be there to greet them and to basically show them that it's all good. We've got you. And then you will find that they will attach themselves to a soul family member and they will come back because they worry about us as much as we miss and worry about them. If you talk to most people, all they want to know is that the loved one, when they cross, they're at peace. So they kind of really worry about us because they know that we're now in a state of grief. We really go through awful emotions down here from everything I felt on the other side when I went home. It doesn't feel like we have that attachment. It doesn't feel like we have that emotion because we're just kind of suspended in this really beautiful feeling of peace and love. But down here, we asked for it all. We were crazy. We want the good stuff. We want the yummy food. We want the good wine. We want the fantastic love and relationships. But we also get all the awful stuff with it. We get the grief. We get the loss. We get the pain. So they tend to come back and they tend to check in on people that they're really worried about. And they love to see their funeral. It's quite interesting when you, because they love to show you their funeral when you're in readings. I can remember once, this lady, she kept showing me big fluffy slippers and a nightie. And I just said to this woman, did you bury your mother in slippers? And she just cracked up laughing. And she said, yeah, because mum just said it's the big sleep. So that was part of her request. She wanted to go in the coffin in her cotton nightie and her big fluffy slippers. And so her daughter obviously did that. But the fact that I told that woman that, she was sold. She knew that I was talking to a mother, because how many people would know that?
And is there a thing where, like, the spirits just don't show up? And I wonder, well, what else are they doing?
Yeah. I always tell people, if you want someone to come, so that's where I was going. So they come up in 4 to 6 weeks, but then they tend to drop out, because not only are they checking in with soul family members, they're probably going over their book of life, looking at their lessons here. And it's kind of like they drop out of our zone for a bit. It's really hard to talk to someone who's first crossed over, because they haven't completed their book of life. They haven't looked at their lessons. They probably don't have a really good handle on how to use energy and how to communicate with us. So yes, when people do come in and their loved one, I can remember I read for a woman and I couldn't believe it. I felt really bad, because I was getting really staticky, what I call static. It was really hard to hear the messages. But she was happy with what I was able to pull out. And I said, my goodness, when did this man cross over? And she said, last week. And I went, right, okay, that is the reason why you're not getting a really good reading. You need to come back in 6 to 12 months. Now, some people, you bring in different spirits and they'll say, I don't want them, tell them to go away. Some people sit here and they go, that's not the person I want. Bring me the person I want. You can't do it. You can't. It's not like it's a phone service. You can't dial up and say, I want Uncle Fred to come down here now. I tell people, if you are wanting to connect with someone, make sure you invite spirit to your reading. They're always very interested in your life. So if you book a reading, you know the time and date, say it in your head to them over it all the time. If you want your mum to connect with you, say, Mum, I've booked a reading. We're heading off to this. We're going to Kathy's place. We're going to Rongaree on the Gold Coast and such a date. And we're going to be there at time. And I really want you to come. Bring a photo with them. Bring something with them. You don't have to give that to the reader, okay? You just have to have it on your person. 9 times out of 10, when people bring something with them from a person who's crossed over, I'll be able to say to them, oh, you've got their ashes with you, or you're wearing a piece of their jewelry, or you've got something on them, because they're telling you, they're saying, oh, she's honored me, she's doing this. So that works really well for me, because that just gives me more opportunity to give people evidence. No matter how much I think a person does believe that they're talking to their loved one, you always have to supply evidence. You always have to. You have to be able to give them actual confirmation about what's happened in their life. And I love it that spirit's quite funny. Spirit's cheeky. And a lot of times they like to mention things that are going on in their life. They love to let them know that they know about the new baby. They love to let them know about the anniversary. But they also love to let them know about the funny things. I can remember once I was reading a woman and I said, the green paint that you just painted your garage, your mother really hates it and she thinks it's awful. And she just cracked up laughing and she said, I just finished painting my garage green, my garage door green, and I liked it in the tin and I really hated on the door. And to her, that was just pure gold, because I wouldn't know what she was doing in her life. But the fact that her mother could give her that information in the reading, that just sold it for us. So she was just really happy about that. And they like to know that they're around. They like to know that they're on top of it.
I think I read in the book you say that many times you've had a spirit in your home, sometimes 2 weeks before a reading has taken place.
Oh, yes, because they work on a different time frame for us. I think you'd get lost in time at home because it just felt so beautiful. Down here, we're very rigid with time. And yes, I've had many, many times I've had spirit waken me by turning on my television at 3 o'clock in the morning. I've had spirit push me while I'm in bed and wake me up. I've had spirit, you're talking about Mr. Stinky. I'm referring to him as Mr. Stinky. He was the worst one ever. I can just remember getting assaulted by this really awful smell. It was BO, it was cigarettes, it was everything. And I just said to my husband, oh my God, can you smell that? And he's like, no. Went looking for it for ages, could not find it. He came 2 weeks early. He didn't want to miss his niece. His niece was coming for a reading. I asked everyone who did the readings with me in that time, can you own this person? Do you know who this spirit is? And they'd all say, no. And this woman, she was a lady, but she walked in, she just laughed and she said, oh yeah, that's my uncle. He used to like have all junk around him and, you know, he never bathed and he was a smoker. He liked to drink. He really stank. But I just thought his place was full of treasures. And she said, he always comes to my readings. And I'm like, oh my goodness, stop telling him you're going to have a reading because the poor reader gets assaulted 2 weeks beforehand.
Do you ever feel that the spirits show up before the sitter even knows they're going to book?
Yeah, probably. You probably find that spirit pushes them to book. So, yeah. That's probably when they say, you know, I never do this, but your face just kept popping up. I get told a lot that my face pops up on Facebook, which is really weird because I don't pay for any advertising. I like my life the way it is. I'm really lucky. I'm very blessed. I'm booked for a couple of months in advance and I'm really, really happy with that. So I've been told I'm too cheap as a reader, but I'm really happy with my life. I'm really happy with what I do. And I find it really weird when people say, oh, you just popped up here or you popped up there. And I'm thinking, yeah, no, I don't pop up because I don't pay for any advertising or sponsorships to pop up. So when that kind of happens, and it's funny because everyone says to me, I look like someone in their family. So when people come to me for a reading, I must just have this blank canvas face. I don't get it. But people come in to me, oh, you look like my aunt or you look like my sister or you look like my mother. You made me feel really comfortable. That's why I had to choose you. You gave me really good vibes. Again, I'm going to thank the angels for that. Yes. And no oil painting. But I just think that they're given the urge. So I'm very, as I said, I'm very, very blessed. I'm very thankful for all the work that I have. So, yeah, that would not surprise me at all.
So do you find that you have to limit the amount of readings you do in a day or a week? Is there a kind of energetic thing that you have to look after for yourself?
Well, you can get burnt out. I'm going to tell you right now, you don't get tired doing readings because when you're actually doing the reading, you're in that really nice, calm state. You're in that what I call the dream state. You're in the theta state because you've really relaxed yourself. You've opened up your mind, okay? So it's like you're having a one-hour meditation every time you do a reading. What is really tiring is people. All the people I meet, I must admit, I reference 99.9. I have beautiful clients. I have really lovely clients. I get to meet new people every single day. And I do between 5 and 6 face-to-face readings a day, and then I also do distance readings. So I really have to be careful because I don't work weekends. That's a personal choice of mine, and I don't work public holidays because I feel like I'm entitled to be with family. But some people think that I'm really mean for not extending myself and doing that because this is supposedly my gift. It's not my gift. Anyone can do it. But I don't get tired doing readings. I get tired or burnt out when you're always being chased to just squeeze me in and can you just pop me in here and can you just do this? And I did go down a path where I did get burnt out very early on when I was trying to please everybody and I was doing between 30 and 40 readings a week and that was too much. So now I de-limit myself and I try to only do between 20 and 25 readings a week and that's between face-to-face as well as distance. So that's phone, that's FaceTime, that's email, that's mini readings. So I'm really lucky. I read for people all over the world. I'm very, very blessed. And I read for a lot of people all over Australia. And I've got a wonderful, wonderful people who come to me. on the Gold Coast, they seek me out. I'm always amazed at people who, when they book their holidays up here, they make sure they book a reading in with me. I'm very lucky. But you don't get tired doing the readings. You get tired doing the business end, I suppose you'd say.
In your book, you say you have a reading done maybe twice a year.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't love to have a reading done? Don't you get readings?
Yeah, occasionally, yeah. But the thing is, if you're a medium, then you'd think, well, you could just do it yourself. You don't need to go and see someone else. But there's something else to it.
You go and you get it for confirmation. You go and get it that you're on the right track. You're on the right path. Readings are fun. And I actually really enjoy having readings by people that are just starting out and just learning. I do a lot of swaps for people who are just starting their healing or they're just starting their reading business because I really, really enjoy that. I'm not really great with my business because I really encourage people to do this work. If they're an amazing healer and if they're an amazing reader, I really encourage them to do it. And I love getting readings by people and I feel my journey here is to help people on their spiritual path to actually learn that there's so much more than just what we see. I mean, this is a very negative place, this world. We come here, we kill people. We can be quite nasty. We're not very kind. We're not very kind to ourselves, to animals, to the planet. And so I'm a thinker, if I can help people go where I go and feel so good, because when you are able to sit in this beautiful space where you can really relax your mind and be open to receiving messages, right? You know that they're positive messages. If you felt bad about those messages you were receiving, your physical body would tell you. That's the beauty of the physical body, your gut instinct, your intuition. You would go, I don't like this. You'd get the creepy crawlies. We read energy really well. Our obviously, you would have heard of our chakra system. I think we have something like 114 different chakras all over our bodies. And people don't understand that we are energetic beings within this body, and we are using energy all the time to read the environment, to read the people. I mean, you go back now, science, I think it's cute. Science is finding out all these things that we've been talking about. Well, not me personally for thousands of years, but spiritual people have been talking about for an awful long time. Like the fact that our palm chakras, our palms actually sweat. They begin to sweat couple of minutes before we actually register the emotion of fear, because our palm chakras has actually picked up the energy around us in the environment and telling the physical body and our soul, we need to be ready, fight and flight. We need to be ready to go. Something is not well. Something is not good. So if you were talking to someone or if you were talking to something, getting messages, and they did not make your body feel good, if they made you feel scared, you know that that's not a good thing to talk to. That's why you do have to remember to protect yourself. Every morning in my meditation, it's all about giving me protection. So I am sent beautiful people who aren't going to. I had my lesson with that one lady. Really? I'm sent beautiful clients. And I also know I'm protecting myself and my family. I just see a big gold bubble around myself, over my head, under my feet, and I just ask for Archangel Michael to protect me and to take care of me. That makes me feel great. That makes me feel so safe. So I'm able to live a really good life. I manifest really well. Things come to me. Some people think I'm very lucky. I just think I ask for the things that I want and I then act on it. I follow through on it and I keep nagging all my beautiful angels about it. And then I tend to manifest, I suppose, a really nice life. I mean, I scored a great husband. We're having our 30th anniversary next Tuesday. So I've got really good people in my life. I live in a beautiful place and I do a job that I love. What more is there?
We've been talking about your book. It's called The Afterlife Mentor, A Psychic Medium's Practical, Emotional and Spiritual Guide to Death. It's a great title. How can people find you?
I'm actually on Amazon. My book is on sale on Amazon. It's a self-published book. But if you go to my webpage, just www.angelconnections.com.au, you'll find that there's a tab up there that says my book. I also have a lot of free resources if people want to. I've written a lot of other ebooks. As I said, I just really want people to connect in with their spiritual journey, really feel good about themselves, really have the best life that they can have. So please find my little webpage, sign up for my monthly newsletter, grab a copy of my book. I'd love it. but yeah, please have a look at my webpage and use as many of the resources that are there for you to be happy.
Great. And thanks again for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for the invitation. Oh my goodness, I was honoured.
This week, I was talking to Kathy Lather about her book, The Afterlife Mentor, A Psychic Medium's Practical, Emotional and Spiritual Guide to Death. If you want to hear the rest of this fascinating interview, you can sign up to Patreon. The Patreon episodes are ad-free and are released 2 days before the free versions. You can become a patron by going to patreon.com/ourparanormalafterlife or click on the Patreon button on my homepage at pastliveshypnosis.co.uk. The links are in the show notes. And my book titled Verified Near-Death Experiences is available on Amazon. You can get it on paperback, Kindle and audiobook. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.